Hello, and welcome to episode 2 of the Uprising of Women in Philanthropy show. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs, the very proud producer of this show, based on the book by 10 women around the world who are sharing great information about women in philanthropy and the women's funding movement. Today is a conversation between 3 co-authors of this 10-author book. We will be guided by our host, Laura Rissimini, and she will be interviewing Dr. Helen LeKelly Hunt and Anna Oliveira. I am so excited to throw it over to Laura and get this conversation started. So take it away.
Wonderful. Thank you, Hope. I'm Laura Rissimini. I currently serve as the Director of Grants for the Amplify Her Foundation. And I have been in the women's philanthropy movement now for about a decade, having gotten my start first working with Helen at the Sister Fund, which is how I came to know Anna, came to know the other authors, and came to be part of this amazing initiative. I have learned so much over the past decade from both Anna and Helen. So it's really a pleasure for me to be able to sit in this seat and moderate a conversation between the both of you about some of the wonderful work that you've all done in the women's movement, particularly in New York, but also in other places across the United States. So I thought I might get started by having each of you just quickly introduce yourselves and maybe say a little bit about how you know one another, how you came to be involved in this book, and then we'll go from there. So Anna, do you want to kick us off?
Sure, Laura. Thank you for contextualizing so well what we're trying to do together with our book. Anna Oliveira from the New York Women's Foundation, which is how I got into this work. Met Helen, who is a founder of the foundation, who generated 37 years ago, Helen. This was a while ago, 4 decades almost. A response in New York to create this public foundation in an inclusive manner, cross-cultural alliance of women, funding women, women coming together to respond to our needs in the city and beyond. And it was through that and that I became involved with the book. It is evident, you know, when you work a little bit in the Women's Foundation, it's evident how little people know about us, the disproportionate lack of knowledge versus the impact of the work of Women's Foundation. So when this idea came up, I was so honored to be invited to join.
Helen, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes, and how I got started with this. Okay, yeah. So once upon a time, my father was H.L. Hunt, and he has a business. And if you put the business in a legal document, half of the profits go to the federal government for welfare for the military, half come to family members. And I knew one day I would be getting some funding. I thought, I don't know what I would fund. One day, 2 women came to my house, rang the doorbell, and they said, Helen, We hear that you might be getting money from the family-owned business. Can we come in and talk with you? And I said, sure. And one of the women was Harriet Earhart. There was a city council. Now, this was 45 years ago. And everyone on the city council was male, but she was the only female. And the federal government decided that major cities in the country needed a center for domestic violence. And they contacted every big city to tell them that if the city council approves, that they would have $100,000 to open a center for domestic violence. The doorbell rang and Harriet Earhart came in and a woman lawyer. And they sat down and they said, Helen, and they explained that Harriet's on the city council and government was offering funding for a city, a center for domestic violence. And when they voted, when the city council voted, they refused the money. They said, we don't have that problem here.
And so, I just want to clarify, this city is Dallas. Is that right? Dallas, Texas?
Dallas. Yeah. And so doorbell, there was Harriet Earhart and this lawyer. And so they sat down and told me. And then the lawyer said, Helen, I can take you to the graves of women who've been killed by their husbands. So the first philanthropic gift I made was to help open a center for domestic violence. And then, eventually that led into the Dallas Women's Foundation. I am 76 and, I can remember when women were not allowed to go to college, like Harvard or where men went to college. Now, eventually they opened colleges just for women but now, I don't know. It's just how women used to be treated and the difference of women's philanthropy.
Yeah, Helen, well, I think you referenced a number of issues, even like domestic violence, where women's funds really played a pivotal role in bringing these issues to light and really mainstreaming them as a way to raise resources to come up with the innovative solutions that we have in place today, which have eventually also resulted in law change. So Anna, you know, I wanted to ask you this question. The book highlights some incredible stories of impact resulting from the partnership between and collaboration between women's funds and foundations and feminist organizations around the globe, illustrating how they've united to create change. Can you share one or two stories from the book in particular, maybe related to some of the things Helen has just said, that really stood out to you about the role that women's foundations have played really in advancing, you know, in moving us forward on some key social issues? And you might even, you know, pick out a story or two as it relates to the New York Women's Foundation, which is, as you said, an organization in existence for 37 years, thanks to both of your leadership, which has done incredible work in the city of New York in amplifying a number of gender justice movements, such as the Me Too movement, the National Domestic Workers Alliance, both of those two huge gender justice movements coming out of the New York Women's Foundation, which I think is important, as Anna said earlier, to take some credit for the role that you're funding and your dedication and your commitment to those movements have had. So I'll turn it to you, Anna, to share a little bit more about, yeah, stories from the book in particular that stood out to you.
Thank you, Laura. And thank you, Helen, for, you know, giving a historical perspective of what have been the wins and the changes. And I'm going to say that most of them happened without the, you know, in the other past, in the existence of women's funds and foundations. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, feminism is the first movement that has had a philanthropic arm to it, you know, that has had a philanthropic dedicated set of institutions that are here for that. So what we try to do in the book is really capture some of the breadth of the work of women's foundations, you know, the breadth of what we do. Domestic violence, undoubtedly, and the violence against women, and I'm going to say femicide, has been a huge unresolved situation that women face. Have faced for millennia and continue to face, not for lack of conversation and discussion, but because, you know, as women, we are usually, for the most, we are recipients of femicide, and we are not the cause of it. We are not the perpetrators of it. And women's foundations are very aware of that. So some of our work has been very much rescuing, you know, creating shelter, creating sanctuaries for us. In Latin America in particular, you have the work of many women's foundations working on that. In Argentina, in Brazil, in Central America, you have a lot of that work because the focus on femicide is very, very important. In the U.S., women's foundations have funded traditionally domestic violence prevention programs, shelters. And most importantly, I think during the Me Too uprising, you know, this moment in history when we were able to seize the cultural space, you know, the narrative, and able to act on it. So we had the opportunity at the New York Women's Foundation at the time, most recently, to partner with Tarana Burke and to bring dollars to not just to New York, to many foundations across the country, to power, to sustain, to feed, to make visible the grassroots work that was always happening there. And in saying that, I am saying that we have had pivotal roles. When we first met Tarana, Tarana had received a grant of $5,000 and a grant of $2,500 of other supporters. She was invisible to philanthropy. She was also invisible to women's foundations and funds. And it became an imperative. It's one of the roles that we have throughout, you know, same thing in other countries, in other continents, is seeing those that are doing the work that are not seen by what we call traditional philanthropy. And it's women with our ability to see each other and to invest based on our own knowledge of what we're doing and trusting of each other. The philanthropy that Women's Foundations do is a very responsive foundation. So we responded to Tarana. We invested a much larger significant amount on her and her vision and her working in Me Too, which allowed her to create Me Too International, that is thriving throughout the globe, not just in the U.S., but throughout the globe. So we then harness dollars from a variety of donors, individual donors, corporate donors, and then we distribute it to sister women's foundations in the U.S. that use that to leverage additional local dollars and invest in anti-violence, in affirming programs for survivors, in the narrative of survivors. So that's a very recent, tangible experience that we had. And then connecting with the globe, because we work in a perspective of sisterhood, you know, we work in a perspective of connection with each other. Tarana has been able to work with other realities in other countries because of that. I think that you find in the book the bravery of women's foundations and the bravery of women's funds. You find in the book our courage, you know, so our courage to withstand, the courage in Africa with the African Women's Development Fund, in funding women in their small businesses, but also funding women in anti-violence, and also funding women in organizing in their own, for their own democratic and, you know, rights and government. So you see the power of that, the courage that we have had. You see the fight of abortion for abortion rights and the successes in Argentina and led by the Women's Foundation in Argentina. You see the opportunity to leverage local resources. Women's foundations, we are at our best because we're rooted to the ground. You know, Laura, your question about partnership with feminist organizations, that's what gives meaning to our work. We believe that problems and solutions are found in the same place, and that movements are an expression of our desires, of our vision, of our quest for equality. Helen speaks about the trajectory to equality for women, which we're still on, to control our resources, to control capital. Women's foundations are a great step in that direction. Here in New York, we have had the honor to partner with Ijen Poe. Ijen Poe was a known local leader for us working at the Chinese American Anti-Violence. We were funding them exactly for that, against femicide and against domestic violence in the Chinese and East Asian communities. And we knew Aijin and she knew us. She approached the foundation for funding to organize domestic workers. And she said, I haven't gone to many other foundations, you know, I have knocked on other doors, but they don't believe I can organize domestic workers because they are not in one roof, like let's say auto workers. They are dispersed. We funded Aijin for her vision, and she said, I already have a group of domestic workers. They are meeting, but I have my full-time job and I'm doing this. If I could dedicate more time to this, this could take force. We funded Aijin, and women's foundations don't just fund and disappear. We fund and embrace our own people, ourselves, in a supportive relationship. It's a partnership. So in 3 years, New York State passed the Bill of Rights, the first ever in the country Bill of Rights for domestic workers. And Aijin launched Domestic Workers United in New York. And from that, it went to California and went to other states and founded the National Domestic Workers Alliance that brought dignity, economic sustainability, and also brought dignity, not just for domestic workers, for the employers. We have an event where we have as our breakfast created by Helen and the founders of the foundation, where you have the employers and where you have the workers together sharing a celebratory event. And it was in that conversation that we said we need everybody to support this bill in the state because it's a win-win for all of us. Dignity, respect for ourselves and for each other are a hallmark of what women's foundations are producing with our solutions. You know, these are win-win solutions. These are solutions that don't rank us against each other, but that bind us on the same level. And the book, I hope that the book is an inspiration. We wanted the readers to see themselves there. We wanted the readers to see there is a women's foundation next to me. Let me go find out. Let me see how I can engage. It's a movement. It's a philanthropic movement.
Thank you, Anna. I absolutely love both of those stories. And I think, you know, it really shows just how the Women's Fund see the leadership of these women and invest early, but also invest in the long term so that those leaders are able to build, sustain, and grow and scale these movements, both of which are now global, that started in the city of New York and have expanded globally. So I want to focus now on the role of individual donors. And I'd love to really talk to you, Anna, about sort of what the importance is of the partnership between individual donors like Helen and others and Women's Funds, right? This beautiful partnership that comes together. I think one of the things that I really love about Women's Funds is that there is this concept of the democratization of philanthropy, that all women from any walk of life is welcome to be a donor in the movement, whether you're contributing $5, $5,000, $50 million, there is a place for you at your local Women's Fund. And so I'd love to hear from you, Anna, just about the importance of this partnership, of the role of individual donors in funding the work. And then Helen, I'd love to hear a little bit more, you know, about what it has meant for you to be part of groups like the Dallas Women's Foundation, the New York Women's Foundation, and some of the others that you've been part of. So Anna, we'll start with you.
Well, you know, Helen and other donors to the foundation are, in my mind and in my experience, extraordinary human beings. Our granted partners are also extraordinary human beings. They will probably say we're ordinary people just doing the right thing, but it transforms you. When you do extraordinary things, it transforms into an extraordinary, impactful person. Why do I say this? Because I like to say that what I've seen at the foundation and what I continue to see in all women's foundations is that encounter between women, they live in very different zip codes. That's my way of saying that we come from different trajectories in life, but that we join for a shared purpose. So individual donors, and that is to uplift each other, that's the shared purpose. The individual donors are, without them, Women's Foundations wouldn't exist. Just as without our grantee partners, we would have no meaning, a sense of purpose. It's that extraordinary philanthropy, that sense of love for self and love for others that gets expressed by individual donors. We have been blessed, beginning with Helen and many other women, who get that you always receive more when you give, that the purpose of capital, the purpose of money, is to make a better world. They know from their own experience the importance of giving for what's dear to them, to what's dear to their heart, other women, the purposes of our lives. And I have learned from our individual donors at all levels of giving, that the act of doing it together is very important. That act of belonging to a community is very important. As you said, Laura, regardless of the size of the gift, but the act of saying together, we're pooling our resources together, we're each giving at the most significant level we can, and we are producing something together for all of us, the givers, the architects of solutions, who are our community leaders, all the other social beneficiaries. Because, when we fund women, we fund women, we fund families, we're funding cities, we're funding transformation in nations. Women, we're both a destination and a means, because we bring people together. We occupy pivotal roles. So our individual donors are essential to Women's Foundations. It's the philanthropy of women, and that means philanthropy of individual donors at all levels. We here at the foundation call our, when you talked about the democratization of philanthropy, we call that our democratic approach to philanthropy, in which people are not defined by their amount of money. Women are equally important, but what's important is that they contribute at the level that is of most significance. And that is fundamentally an expression of that control of capital that Helen was speaking about, the journey of women to control capital. When we engage in philanthropy on our own behalf, we're not only just controlling capital, but we are funding our institutions. We are funding our own lives. So individual donors are the core of Women's Foundations, the core of Women's Foundations.
Helen, I'd love for you to pick up on that, because I've often heard in many circles I've shared with you, women talk about how transformative it has been for them to be part of this movement, to be part of the women's funding movement. I've heard you sometimes refer to yourself as a donor activist. And so I'd love for you to talk about what that's been like for you, your own personal journey, and your personal transformation being part of this movement and being such a leader in it.
I think it's sort of an honor when you give your time and funding towards something that can make a difference in the world, a positive difference.
Well, I have one final question, Anna, for you, and then maybe we'll see how much time we have towards the end. But the tagline for the New York Women's Foundation is one that I really love, and it's Radical Generosity. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a bit more about how that tagline came to be and what it reflects, not only about your own community of supporters, but the global women's funding movement more generally?
Well, thank you for picking up on the tagline, Radical Generosity. Is also an expression that I treasure. It's very hard to capture the power of what we do. I mean, you hear in Helen's words the scope of change and transformation and the rootedness of this women's funding movement in other liberation movements and how they have been important to connect. So the tagline, radical generosity, brings two words that are usually not together, right? Generosity and radical. Radical is associated sometimes with fear, something that will be too much, something that will be, over the top or something. But actually, radical means going to the roots. That word comes from roots. And generosity can be interpreted by some people or can be seen as, condescending thing. That's like a wishy-washy to like the person is generous, you know, and it doesn't really alter relationships, right? Mm-hmm. Because generosity is not the same thing as charity. Mm-hmm. Generosity comes from a concept of abundance. Generosity comes from a concept of understanding that what we have doesn't really belong to us and it is partaken and given. And the word radical along with generosity, you know, they mix showing that it is really that true concept of abundance, that true concept of being in it together, of giving in a way that changes from the roots, a giving, a being, a connecting that does not have limits. And why do we think that that's important? And what does it express? It tries to capture this world movement, that radical courage, that radical giving together, that radical solidarity, that sense that we are in abundance, that we have abundance in the world. We have abundance. We women coming together, we come out of abundance of what's possible, abundance of transformation. We know that what we face today is an arbitrary arrangement. It's an arrangement of systems, economic systems, policy systems that are not beneficial for women in general, that curtail our ability to be radically present with each other, to be radically transformational in all societies. Women's foundations have different taglines, but we all have this spirit of abundance and this spirit of radical possibility too. You know, it's about radical possibility. When Helen talks about that women were not, evidently, as we all know, allowed to vote, that women were not allowed to control our monies, to have a bank account, that women were not allowed to inherit, that women were not considered capable of managing monies. And you see today, women had the biggest growing sectors of economies. Women make the best economic decisions for their families. Research has shown that when a dollar invested in a woman results in 80% of that dollar invested in others, compared to 40% when it's given to a man. That kind of financial management, that kind of multiplying effect is what the word generosity and the word radical generosity are trying to do. And we do it not just individually, we do it collectively, you know. And I am going to say that that's connect to the role of individual donors, of pioneers like Helen with creating the Dallas Women's Foundation, then the New York Women's Foundation, and all your sister Swanee Hunt creating the Colorado Women's Foundation, and then Helen creating the Women's Funding Network, Women Moving Millions. You know, that kind, it's a radical commitment. It's a radical generosity, both economically, but also in leadership. So we hope that this tagline inspires everyone and actually captures what everyone is doing in the women's funding movement.
Well, I think that's actually a beautiful way to wrap up, Anna. And really, I think the kind of words that I think many of us are really longing to hear for in this past week. And I think there is so much hope for us, not only, you know, just to be in community with one another, but in relationship with the work that's happening on the ground, with feminist organizations, with women's funds. There is hope, and there is a path forward. And I think history really, you know, can almost help us to see how far we've come. And so hope is not lost. There's still work to do, but certainly we have come quite a long way and have fought many, many battles to get where we are today. We have just a few minutes left, so I wanted to see if there were any kind of parting or closing thoughts from you, Helen.
Yeah, I actually, I don't see how I can have this conversation without mentioning a woman named Tracy Gary, Tracy Gary. Before the Dallas Women's Foundation started, let me just say, I accidentally read an annual report of hers. I was told to go to a place where you can see all sorts of annual reports of people, and every single foundation, it was Ford Foundation, Kellogg Foundation, statewide foundations, and there was one that was the San Francisco Women's Foundation, and it was pink on the cover, and on the board was Tracy Gary. And when the Dallas Women's Foundation, we wanted to start that, I asked Tracy if she would come and lecture to the women in the room. That Harriet Earhart and we had pulled together a lot of philanthropists that they wouldn't refuse money to start a center for domestic violence and maybe start a women's foundation. And I showed Harriet this information about Tracy. And I've always said she should have been inducted in the Women's Hall of Fame. I'm considered the founder of women's philanthropy, but I think Tracy, we definitely want to mention her name.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for lifting her up, Helen. Anything else from you, Anna? Any parting thoughts?
So I wanted to make a comment about the moments that we are discovering in the United States. And I wanted to say that women's foundations and women's funds succeed, operate, are always there, regardless of more or less authoritarian regimes, regardless of democratic practices or lack thereof, that we exist in countries like Ukraine, that we exist in East Asia, that we exist in Africa, that we exist in Latin America, not dependent on is it a democratic practicing country or is it a more authoritarian country with fewer women's rights. Women's funds and women's foundations are that kind of philanthropic sanctuary for women. We are that place that feeds, shelters, renews, and moves forward, that fights forward, that brings women together. So I'm saying this because if we were thinking that we only thrive in democratic and resourced areas, we would probably have one or two women's foundations. Instead, we have hundreds of women's foundations in the globe and women's funds. So it's important that we remember that we are also our own solutions and that there's nothing new about difficulties that we are or will be facing that others, sisters of ours, haven't seen or faced and dealt with in the women's funding movement and in the women's movement in general.
Thank you for
onward
sharing
together.
that. Yeah. So if you're feeling particularly lonely, scared, isolated, find your local Women's Fund. And for your convenience, we've added a list of all of them all over the globe in the index of the book. So if you download the book, you will be able to find a full list of every Women's Fund around the globe. And you can find the one that's closest to you to help sustain you in the coming years. All right, Hope, I'm going to kick it back to you to close this out.
Thank you so much. That was wonderful, ladies. I'm really impressed and empowered to hear your words of wisdom. This is an amazing book. Please check it out, uprisingofwomeninphilanthropy.com. I highly recommend that everyone takes a look at it and listens to all of these podcasts. This is episode 2, and we have one more on the horizon. Episode 1 is live on Incandescent Radio and, of course, on uprisingofwomeninphilanthropy.com. I'm Hope Katz-Gibbs, very, very proud to be with these stellar women who are taking us to new levels. So join the fight. Don't give up. And listen to these words of wisdom over and over and over again. I know that I will. So thank you, Laura, Anna, and Helen, for all the work you're doing. I'm going to cry. We'll talk to you all.